We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we have recorded this podcast on, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures. Welcome to Governing for Reform, a series of conversations to transform aged care. As part of the Governing for Reform in Aged Care program, led by the Aged Care Quality and Safety Commission, this podcast series is aimed at strengthening the governance capabilities within the aged care sector and mobilise those with influence to lead change. I'm your host, Susan Staples. I'm a governance and risk specialist at KPMG and have advised in the governance training of over 200 health service directors. As a self-confessed governance geek, I love all things governance and risk, and I'm really excited to talk to you about how governance can be the key to making sustainable changes for high-quality outcomes for the people we really care about, our older Australians.
Good information is central to all health and aged care systems and organisations. You know, unless we have good information, we can't make good policy, we can't deliver good care or outcomes.
Information, communications and emerging technology is increasingly playing a vital role in the delivery of aged care services. Technology has the potential to change the way providers deliver services and improve consumer outcomes. We saw this emerge as a common theme in the Royal Commission into Aged Care Quality and Safety, with the commissioners really highly recommending for more investment into the research and development of ICT in aged care. Governing bodies and executives get huge volumes of data that can create a lot of anxiety. Are we getting the right information? Are we getting it on time? How are we using it to its full potential? This episode, we're joined by Professor Joanna Westbrook. Professor Westbrook is the Director of the Centre for Health Systems and Safety Research at the Australian Institute of Health Innovation at Macquarie University. Joanna is internationally recognised for her research evaluating the effects of information and communication technology, or ICT, in healthcare, and is currently leading research investigating the role and impact of ICT in the community and aged care sectors. Joanna, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so delighted to have you and your expertise to take us through some of the topics around ICT in aged care. To get us started, what got you into the sector and why you think ICT is so critical to aged care?
My background really is in quality and safety, and I've worked within the acute care sector for many, many years as both a practitioner and a researcher, and I've been a researcher for over 20 years now. And my interest in aged care really came about in talking and working with aged care providers and hearing about some of the challenges they were facing and really thinking about how information and communication technology really has an important role to play in aged care and hasn't really been exploited to the extent that it could. And there are lots of quality and safety issues in the aged care sector, which are not dissimilar to the acute care sector in some ways, but there also are very unique challenges to the sector. And so really we started by working with some aged care providers to work with them about their systems, what they were trying to achieve, and talking about research which might be able to help them.
And so why do you think ICT is so critical in the sector? What are some of the things that you've really noticed in terms of need?
Well, I think good information is central to all health and aged care systems and organisations. You know, unless we have good information, we can't make good policy, we can't deliver good care or outcomes. And I think one of the things we certainly heard about from the Royal Commission was that there is this incredible lack of contemporary good quality information in the aged care sector about quality and safety issues. So we certainly heard a lot about a complaint data and incident report data. But really what the sector needs, and it became very clear, is much better high-quality contemporary information which allows the sector to monitor safety and quality, but also for providers and managers of multiple facilities to tell them what is actually happening and allowing them to respond to that data. There was a line that came out during the commission, you know, the sector is definitely data rich but information poor. So there is enormous amounts of information that are collected, and we The sector stores it all very well in lots of different silos. But what we don't have is a good way of accessing that information to allow us to better manage and understand what is happening in the sector. So in that way, you know, information technology is incredibly useful because it's a great tool to be able to bring information together, to analyze it in effective ways. And so I think there's an enormous amount of potential to use the existing data. I don't think we have to wait for the sort of the perfect electronic information system to be, you know, designed and developed because we'll be waiting a long time. But there is an enormous amount that we can do with the information that is stored in these systems now. And certainly that's one of the things that we've been very interested in being able to try to achieve.
It would be fabulous to hear a little bit about the research that you've done and some of the examples that you've got around where some of the ICT innovation has happened and where some of those benefits have been realised, if you've seen that.
So maybe one example is really focusing on medication management in the aged care sector. So we know that for around 80% of residents in residential aged care, they're on 5 or more medications a day, and 40% of them are taking more than 10 medications every day. So, you know, medication is a really core part of quality care for residents. And when we look at what came out of the Royal Commission, it really showed that a third of all the issues that were reported to the Commission related to poor medication management, and they are the greatest source of complaint to the Aged Care Quality and Safety Commission. Now, in the last decade or so, many aged care providers have been moving to electronic medication management systems, and these are really great systems to support the administration and management of medications. But often they've been seen in a very narrow way, really to improve efficiency and perhaps to reduce missed doses. But what is incredibly powerful about these systems is that they hold information electronically about all the medications residents are on. So the potential, therefore, is that now you can potentially look at what is the profile of medications of residents in my facility in almost real time over multiple facilities. And we've never had that capacity before because all this medication information has been held on paper medication charts. So one of the things we've done is work with some providers to start demonstrating to them what they can do if they start looking into that data, if they start linking their medication data with other types of information about the resident. So really breaking down these silos. So looking at the medications and then matching that to information about residents' conditions, for example. So if I give you one, you know, practical example of one of the things we looked at, we know that antipsychotics is a real issue, overuse of antipsychotics in residential aged care. So we worked with this provider. They had 68 facilities, and we linked their medication data with information about their residents. And so we were able to show that around 28 to 33% of all residents were on an antipsychotic. But then we were able to look at, well, let's look at the individual facilities and look at how much variation there is. And importantly, to use some pretty standard statistical approaches to control for differences in the patient or the resident populations. So we were able to adjust for things like the different ages and gender and whether people in particular facilities, there may have been a higher proportion of people with various psychoses or depression, because all those factors may influence the extent to which you use antipsychotics. And so that gave us a way of providing an indicator where you could compare, meaningfully compare, use of antipsychotics across those facilities. But these systems also provide us with other information. So we could not only look at who's on an antipsychotic, but we can look at how long they've been on an antipsychotic, which has never really been possible unless you did a manual audit. So we could show that 65% of people who were using an antipsychotic had done so for more than 3 months. So we're actually starting to be able to answer questions about, are our residents receiving evidence-based care? And then you can start thinking about, well, how can we use the IT system to improve this situation, not just monitor the situation, but improve it? And so with facilities such as decision support, you can imagine you could build in a pretty simple alert within the system, which may alert a general practitioner to say this resident has actually been receiving this medication for beyond recommended guidelines. But you can also engage more with consumers and their families. So they could be sent an SMS or some sort of alert to say, your family member's been on this medication, you may want to have a bit of a chat with the GP to see whether any changes need to be made. So I think you can see the power of IT in sort of really demonstrating whether you're delivering quality care in line with guidelines, but it also provides you with a mechanism to do something about it. And then, because this information is all recorded, you can go back in a couple of months and see whether the intervention that you tried actually made a difference. And one of the things that's missing, I think, from the sector is that often we demand an awful lot of them in terms of all the interventions that we ask them to do, but we never give them very much information about whether it's actually making a difference. And I think that's very powerful when you can show people that what they're doing is actually improving things for residents.
Absolutely. And there's so much richness in what you're talking about and thinking through, what does this mean as a governing body member or an executive leader? You know, the question that comes to my mind is, in this role, how do I actually take hold of all of that information, all of that richness that you're talking about, and really help that to do our job better, to really lead through change and identify those innovations? I think one of the things that I heard you say was that the evidence-based care is really important. So how is that information, from a board's perspective or a governing body's perspective, going to help with decision-making and oversight?
I think one of the key things is to really start thinking about what are the important questions that we need answered. So rather than focusing on the IT, thinking about what questions should we know the answer to in terms of what we're trying to manage and improve. So, I mean, there might be quite simple questions from the beginning. You might say, you know, do we actually have an accurate profile of what our residents and clients' needs are in terms of their health and in terms of their quality of life? Do we know what services we are providing to those individuals in a sort of, you know, aggregate way? But also importantly, do we know the relationship between the services we're providing and the outcomes that we think are important for those people? So I think as a board, even just starting from that point of view about, you know, saying what questions should we know the answer to? Do we know how many residents have diabetes and gout? Do we know what proportion of them are actually receiving care that is in line with clinical guidelines? What proportion of our residents are in chronic pain, and how many of those are actually receiving care from a physiotherapist on a regular basis? We tend to focus on a lot of the error problems like pressure injuries, but just having incident data isn't enough. It's sort of saying, okay, well, if our pressure injury rate is this level, are we monitoring over time? Is it improving? Are the same residents experiencing these outcomes? And even things like hearing and eye tests, you know, what proportion of residents have had their hearing and eyes tested in the last 12 months? Something that is relatively simple, you would think, and has the potential to make an enormous impact on quality of life. So I think what I'm saying is that the focus should be on the questions that you want to answer rather than the IT system. And so you say, what are the important questions that we need answered in order to manage better and to improve the outcomes and life of the people that we're caring for? And then how can the IT system deliver that to us? What silos of data do we need to link to be able to bring that information? What sort of reports should we be expecting from our IT systems? Because then you go out to vendors and you say, I want a system that should be able to do X, Y, and Z. And I think it tends to happen the other way around often, is that vendors will present a system to you and then people will say, you know, okay, rather than thinking about really what do they want that system to deliver for them.
And it's such a good point, because I think, you know, I've seen in many boardrooms that data is reported because the data points are there, not because they're really meaningful. And one of the things that happens is you get an overload of data that is really just points of information with no analysis and nothing that really ties back to your point around how is this impacting on the quality of care? What are the data points we need to triangulate to really get a better picture of the overall experience of our consumers? And one of the things that you touched on before was around some of the complexity in those calculations and some of the complexity in bringing those data points together to tell the story. I remember having a conversation with a group of board members around the data tells a story, and it's almost like you need to learn a little bit of that language to understand what that story is. But once you've got that language, you can really start to see the threads. So how can ICT potentially help with that storytelling and with that pulling together those threads for governing bodies and executive leaders?
So, I mean, you make a really good point, and there are many sort of potential strands to that issue. So I think when you're looking at your board form membership, so you want a diversity of skills, and it's very useful to look at the extent to which you might have someone who has some experience in data analytics in some way to help guide some of those discussions. So, you know, and there's also some thoughts about potentially building the skills of the board about some very sort of standard, how do you look at various indicator data, when are indicators useful, that sort of thing. So there's a sort of skills capacity building element to that answer. There's also about, you know, how do we really drive better IT systems, which don't require people to be statisticians in order to be able to interpret the data. And that's certainly, as researchers, we're working with IT people and providers to try to provide some guidance about that. But really, there is, I think, you know, it's a bit of a push-pull system. So providers have to be sending messages, we want better reporting capabilities, better indicators in different formats that are suitable to vendors, and vendors then need to respond to that. But unless vendors are getting questions about these things, there's no real drive to do that. I think it's also about thinking outside the square a little bit and thinking about, well, where can we partner and collaborate with different groups in order to build that capacity? And you might think we're never going to have the resources to put a full-time statistician on or to have data analytics people, but there are, you know, researchers who would be very interested. We partner with a lot of providers to provide that expertise, to get things set up, to get reporting mechanisms underway. And it's an opportunity to utilize through collaborations and partnerships a good way to move forward in that area. So that's something else to think about. How do we get within the sector providers to collaborate more on this and to share and learn from each other? So, for example, we just this year are setting up a new large NH and MRC research partnership project, which is to establish a national aged care medication roundtable. And that's really bringing providers together with the expertise of researchers who know a lot about data to actually share data, but also to talk about how can we present this data in different ways to suit different audiences within the aged care sector. So if we have a range of quality and safety indicators, what would your board like to see? What would your care workers like to see? And what would your facility managers like to see? Because they might be organized in quite different ways. And doing, you know, some research on, is it best to present data as bar charts, as fishbone diagrams, as funnel plots, etc., and to actually try these out and give people experience of it, because often you don't know what you want unless you've seen some examples of it. So part of this process is to expose people to different ways that you can look at information and find out what is useful and valuable.
And it's such a good point, because I think, again, sometimes the dashboard reporting or the trend analysis can be really powerful and simple if you have the right tools. I'm mindful that the sector is going through a lot of change at the moment, and a lot of providers are facing into significant challenges, similar to workforce issues, similar to financial constraints. They're under a lot of regulatory pressure to ensure that they're meeting changing standards, which, you know, are all challenges of short, medium and long-term nature. So in that vein, we might have people who will say, that all sounds wonderful. How do we actually do that in this current environment? We're just busy putting out fires, or we're busy trying to deal with today. And that's an investment in ICT is something that seems beyond us at this point. What advice do you have for our listeners in that regard?
Look, I completely understand that the sector is under so many pressures at the moment. And I know many organisations would like to do more, but they feel that they just cannot move. Some general advice about this, I think, first of all, is really understanding the capabilities of your current system in more detail and looking at what is possible through the current setup that you have. So often there are reporting functionalities and potential to quite simply link data sets which could produce standard reports, which just really haven't been explored because no one has asked the questions. So I think that's one approach. I think the thing is also talking to your staff at all levels to find out what are their frustrations in terms of data and information and systems. Where do they see the inefficiencies in practice? We know from talking to people that it doesn't take long to uncover where people are entering the same information in multiple different places, where they are copying information from computer screens and then re-entering it onto a paper form and then somebody else puts it back into the system. So there are enormous inefficiencies and it does take a little bit of time, but to have those discussions with people about where those inefficiencies are and to start making some decisions potentially about what information should you stop collecting. We tend to just think we have to add more things and we should be looking at, you know, this indicator and that indicator, but there are some things that we should actually just stop collecting. No one's looking at the information. The quality of the information that's being collected is really poor because there's no consistency and no one's looking at it. So I think there's a question about stopping doing some things. Looking at some quick wins in terms of trying to provide some better information that people within the organization find valuable. So people will invest their time in things where they get some reward and they think, actually, this is really useful to know. This will save me time doing something. So it's responding to, once you've talked to people, responding in some ways to do that. I think more broadly, for an organization, it's important to develop an IT strategic plan. You know, in the sort of short, medium, long term, what are we trying to achieve? And there, I think it's important to seek advice from outside the organization as well, to talk to other providers. For example, if you're thinking about purchasing a new system, talk to other providers who've actually purchased those systems, because sometimes they don't always deliver what's on the package. And so you need to talk to people who've really used it. You can consult with groups such as the IT Aged Care Council, who can provide some general advice to you about that. So it's not that you have to have all the expertise within your organisation. There are people out there who can provide some assistance. I think it's also important to include in that plan things that are important to supporting residents and families or community care clients. So have you got good Wi-Fi, not only for your IT systems, but for streaming, for telehealth, for FaceTime applications? So it's very important that it's an integrated IT plan. And also thinking about what are some of the capabilities you might need in the future? Things like virtual reality applications. We're seeing robotics coming along the line. So I think doing a little bit of future casting about what that IT infrastructure might need to be.
Have you got any reflections on the importance of having good information for consumers to be able to understand the quality of service that's being provided or information about their loved ones that they might not have access to but feel they'd really like to understand a lot better? And in fact, that can be a very useful process for organisations to go through as well.
So I think absolutely ICT can support residents and their families and community care clients as well. So I think it's partly about making information much more transparent. So in a very practical way, if you've got your electronic medication data, there should be nothing to stop you providing regular lists of medications for family members, which just has simple information about, you know, what is my family member on, how long have they been taking it. Some residents would like to have that information themselves. So I think that's one way. I think some of the potential for decision support alerts to alert families when things have changed, that's often what they really want to know and to understand why they've changed and who they can talk to. And so once again, medications is a really good way of providing that information. One of the other things that we've looked at is also thinking about, well, we tend to focus very much on physical assessments and those types of indicators. But for people in the aged care sector, quality of life is incredibly important. And there's been an increasing focus on how do we actually measure quality of life as an indicator. So once again, capturing that information within an information system makes that information much more powerful and valuable. So to give you an example, we worked with a provider where we suggested to them a couple of quality of life tools that they could incorporate for their aged community care clients. And they just built it through a form mechanism within their IT system, the survey tool. And once that information was there, well, one, first of all, they found that community care clients found it really valuable to answer these types of questions because no one ever asked them questions about being lonely and whether they are receiving opportunities to engage with people in the community, et cetera. So they found it very valuable to answer these questions. But what we were able to show is that we could put that information into the system and link it to the types of community care services that those clients were receiving. So we could actually map over time. So we had over 1,000 clients and their quality of life scores, and we looked at how they were distributed across different service units who were providing services to them. And so we could see that there were some service units where had clients who had significantly higher quality of life than other service units, where their populations of clients weren't doing quite as well. Now, obviously, that's just showing variation, but it allows you to then start asking some questions. So where quality of life was higher, was it that there were more services available to those people, whether they were better services, whether they were referred more appropriately than people in those other areas? It may well be that people in those other areas, they just didn't have the services available to refer people to. And so it wasn't really just a matter of those services weren't available as opposed to people not doing a good job. But I think it really demonstrates the power of having this information to start asking more targeted questions where you can actually start investigating. And you can also use this data to then lobby for policy and resource changes. So if you can demonstrate that the quality of life of these clients is poorer and it seems to be related to the fact that these services are just not available, that gives you valuable data to lobby for. We actually looked at a provider who, and we looked at data of over 1,000 clients in the community who are receiving aged care services. And we mapped them and we looked at how many hours of community care services they received. And then we, over a year, we asked what proportion of them actually were admitted to residential aged care. And so over a year, we had about 1,100 people. About 20% of them ended up in residential aged care at the end of that time. But what we found was that there was a significant association related to the number of hours of community care services they received and admission to residential aged care. So those clients who received a couple more hours per week of community care support were able to significantly defer admission to residential aged care. Now, at face value, probably many in the sector will tell you, of course that is the case, because if you support people in their homes, that means they can stay there longer. And when we talk to most aged care people, that's what they want. They want to be able to age at home. But there's surprisingly little evidence available to demonstrate that that is actually, it is highly effective. And once again, this is a really important evidence base to be able to then go to government and say, look, this does work. It is cost effective to do this. We should be investing in this model of care. And this is just really providers being able to use their own data to look at these associations in quite simple way. It's all existing data. Once again, it's an example of just linking service data with information about what's happening to your clients.
Such fabulous examples. Thank you so much, Joanna. I think one of the things that I've taken away from listening to that is there's power in the data and in the information and how you bring that together for the provider themselves. And that's a key part of what this program is about and about sort of building capability of providers and strengthening those mechanisms to support that. But the other part is about moving the sector. And that last part that you talked about really talks to how we can use this as a ICT data as an evidence base for change and for change in a sector that needs some innovation. So this is fabulous examples that are really bringing this to life. What are your key takeaways for aged care leaders who are really looking to utilise ICT in the sector? If you had three or four things that you could leave us with today, what would they be?
Leaders should be excited about the potential here. There is an enormous amount that can be done from existing data that's stored in existing clinical information systems, and there is enormous amounts of value that you can reap from that existing data without having to go out and invest enormous amounts of money. So I think now you should be thinking about how are we using sort of descriptive analytics to really get a much better handle on the profile of our residents and our clients and indicators that we should be monitoring and what are the questions that we really can answer from that descriptive information. I think moving forward in the near future, we're certainly thinking that these systems need to be much smarter with the data and looking towards predictive analytics. And there are a number of groups, for example, we're doing research on developing predictive analytics dashboards where it's using that same data but using it in smart ways behind the scenes, building algorithms, which will then highlight residents, for example, who may be at risk of potential adverse events. But it goes beyond just saying there is an alert about this resident. It actually has decision support to guide decision making and to providing some practical advice about what you should do if somebody is at risk. And then I think, you know, your point about really pushing the sector and not being just a passive recipient of perhaps national programs on what information is important to monitor, but actually using more local data to come up with more meaningful indicators that are valuable to monitor, and that really pushing better policy, evidence-based policy by using local data is important.
This podcast is part of the Governing for Reform in Aged Care program, which has been designed to help approved providers of government-funded aged care services to strengthen their governance capabilities and mobilise those with influence to lead change in their organisation and across the sector. You can find additional reading, resources and learning activities on the program's online learning platform. I'm Susan Staples, and this is Governing for Reform. I'll see you next time.